Welcome to the Heal, Thrive, Dream podcast, where trauma survivors become healthy thrivers. Each month, we'll feature a theme in the trauma recovery and empowerment field to promote your recovery, healing, and learning how to build dreams. Here's your host, Karen Robinson, transformational coach and therapist.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Heal, Thrive, Dream podcast. Today, our guest is Jen Rosemarie Francis. She is a divorced mom of three sons and the creator of two podcasts. One is Solo Moms and Talks and Tools of the Podcast Trade. She began broadcasting journey in 2014 when she started an online radio station to encourage single moms. Jen enjoys mentoring solo moms as well as new podcasters because she always wants to help others find the answers to their questions. She considers herself a mindset maven who believes mindset is everything and things only happen when we have the courage to believe. Jen loves to travel solo, amen, reads extensively, and journals consistently. We have a lot in common, Miss Jen. How are you today?
That's good. I'm fine. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure. It's mine. Is there anything about your bio you would like to add?
No, not really. I mean, the podcast are Solo Moms Talk and Tools of the Podcast Trade.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. Thank you. I read it.
It's okay.
The break is different. Yeah. So thank you for that. Well, we're really happy to have you on here. And one of my initial questions for the guests that we bring onto the show is, what about you and your past was difficult? Like, what were your challenges or traumas that led you on your current path?
I'm going to say that's a loaded question, but then this is a podcast, right? Oh, boy. So many answers to that question, but I'm going to go with one path, and that's a path of that led me to being a solo mom. And I've been married and divorced three times. And after my last divorce, I took some time to try to figure out why it was that I couldn't be married for a long time and have happily ever after. And I realized that I was searching for someone that a husband could not provide for me. And that was family. And it came from a very long and, you know, multiple times when I was abandoned by a family member. First my mom, then my granddad who raised me from I was 9 months old. He died when I was 12. Mm-hmm. I took that as abandonment, even though I know it wasn't. Then my aunt, who I stayed with after my granddad died, she shipped me off to England to live with my mom, who I didn't know when I was a teenager. Another abandonment. And so I realized that the reason I wanted to be married, I wanted to have my own nest, you know, I wanted to family, but it wasn't really fair to ask that off someone else. Mm-hmm. And so I ended up being a solo mom twice, but the final time is when I realized that, you know, I had problems that I needed to solve. And I understood that there are other solo moms who had problems they needed to solve. And one of them is just someone to talk to, which is how the podcast was born.
Oh, very cool.
Yes.
Yeah. It sounds like with what I know about abandonment is that it creates this empty feeling inside and it's so hard to get that filled.
Yes.
And so, yeah. And when we try to get it from other relationships, people really let us down.
Yes. But it's hard to feel if you try to get it filled from another person.
Yes. Yeah. Good point.
Yeah.
So tell us a bit about your recovery, your process of healing that sense of emptiness or the abandonment, because I'm guessing your journey has some healing in it.
Yes, a lot. Mm-hmm. and in different ways. So it started with me after I discovered that I did a lot of reading. I read a lot of Tony Robbins stuff. I listened to a lot of back then it was the CDs. And I read Joel Osteen's book, Your Best Life Now. And I did the journaling every day with that. And I delved into the scriptures because I am a Christian. And despite the fact that at that point I was pretty mad with God, so I still, you know, it's like, you know, you have home and you always go back home even though you're mad with your parents, right? So I always went back to the scriptures, and it really helped me to at least set a foundation for myself in knowing that somebody cared, and I haven't quite come to terms with that yet. Then when my two youngest were in their early teens, I moved to New York City and I joined this church, and they had a discovery group, and we were separated male and female, and I was in this all female group. There were 13 of us for 9 weeks. And we were just given the opportunity to talk about what was on our mind, what's going on with us, our problems, whatever. Mm-hmm. And I sat listening. They had a textbook. And that's when I discovered that God was my father. I never knew my earthly father. And then my granddad died. So I just figured I didn't need a father, and even though there was this yearning for someone, you know, but when I discovered that God was my father, I'm like, oh. And then I discovered what he does for his children, and it opened up a new way of thinking for me. So my mindset changed. Because up to that point, I just thought nobody cared about me. My husband abandoned me. My mother abandoned me. My granddad abandoned me. Everybody abandoned me. Nobody cared who I was. Mm-hmm. But at that point, I got a grasp of the reality that God cared about me. Mm-hmm. And so that set the foundation. I started to see a therapist, and I saw him for 10 years. So It was a long process. I'm still working on it, but yeah, those are some of the things that happened that attributed to me changing my mindset, my heart changing, and just healing, if you will, from some of those things.
Now, that was, you know, really helpful to hear, especially the relationship with God, because he's always there.
Yes.
He's always there, and we can allow him to fill us.
Yeah.
If we open our mind and hearts to that. So
yeah.
That's really awesome that you figured out that asking humans to do that role doesn't work out very well.
Yeah. But
no matter who they are, even us, you know, we can be Christian women and still let people down. So
yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So the questions, I'm a big bibliophile. Therapist. I love using books for healing as well. And I saw that you do that too. Do you happen to have a favorite Tony Robbins book? Like, I know you listen to him too in CDs.
I don't remember the title of it. It was his Awaken the Giants Within.
I was going to ask if that was it.
Yeah. That, because, you know, it's an old one, and, but that was the favorite one. Mm-hmm. I like Money Master the Game now, but that was my favorite one.
Okay. And I read that book from Joel Osteen too. That was really good.
Yes.
Okay. Do you have a favorite scripture verse that helps you when you need more encouragement as a solo mom?
Well, actually, the one I found this morning, actually, and I posted it on Instagram, and it was Isaiah 12:2. Mm-hmm. And I'm gonna have to look it up.
Yeah, no, go ahead. We would love to hear it. You never know who it will bless.
So Isaiah 12:2, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. That's
perfect.
It.
That's perfect. Yes. Yeah. It's very encouraging for people listening who believe in God. That's awesome. Okay. Yeah. So tell me about how parenting your sons went, with you feeling like you had the family in your life that were authority figures or supposed to have those parental roles let you down a lot. Did that impact your parenting? And if so, how?
So with my first son, he was from my first marriage. And with that, with my son, it really affected me in the sense that he and my father broke up, when his father broke, I left him with his father because his father decided that he wasn't going to pay child support. And I wasn't working at the time and I needed to find myself. And I said, well, if you can't help me to take care of him, then you take him. And I didn't see anything wrong with that, right? And I didn't just say, I will live here and you live there. I left the country and moved to another country. And for the longest while, I didn't see anything wrong because I'm like, he's with his dad, right? But after a while, it started to bother me, you know, that I abandoned him. And when he would write, his letters would say, you know, he wants to be with me and, you know, how could I leave him and just things. And I still keep thinking, you know, this is a son, so why doesn't he want to just stick with his dad, right? Mm-hmm. Still didn't understand, even as an adult, how parental and children roles were. But with my two young, so that affected my mom and all these adults abandoning me, affected me in the sense that I wanted to carry on that, thinking there was nothing wrong with it. You know, eventually I changed, you know, because he came to live with me and, you know, we made up, we kissed and made up. And
I'm sure it was slightly more complicated than that.
Yes, it is. but thankfully all is well with our relationship. Okay. With the two youngest, their dad walked out when they were 2 and 4. And I didn't want to leave them. I was desperate to find a way to take care of them, you know, because I didn't want to abandon them like their dad had done and like my parents had done. Mm-hmm. And so I really did everything in my power to hold on to my sanity so I could take care of them.
Awesome. And again, not easy, but sometimes when we make the best decision for our kiddos, it's rewarding.
It's rewarding, but sometimes it cannot be also, because that's how I ended up with my third marriage.
Yeah. Well, what happened? Was it just too hard being a single mom of three little boys?
Well, at that point, it was just two little boys. My oldest son was still in Canada with his dad.
Okay.
But then, you know, I met this fellow and things seemed okay. But we always have to be careful that, you know, we look to the hills from whence come our help, because our help comes from the Lord, not from people. But I was looking for help from, you know, from men, from people. But I was also praying, you know, God, if you want me to marry this guy, you know, show me a sign, you know. And I was walking around this area around my house, and when I finished praying, I looked up and there was this guy coming. I went, hallelujah, there's the sign.
What did you do? Did you like run to him and say, you're mine? Like, what happened?
No, well, nothing like that. But we did end up getting married, to my detriment. And, you know, my youngest son loved him and, you know, can he be my daddy? Blah, blah, blah. You know, I fell into that trap. But, and, you know, 20 years later, I'm still suffering and 20 years after the divorce, I'm still suffering.
Was he abusive?
Oh, very, very, in so many different ways. And not just to me, but to my oldest son as well, because he came to live with us. Mm-hmm. I think it was trying to answer how, you know, me trying desperately to take care of my children gave me, you know, the opportunity to make bad decisions. Mm-hmm. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. A lot of times we're so focused on, you know, I don't want to fail at raising my kids. I don't want to fail at, you know, send me help. I need help. But we're not recognizing
the red flags.
The good help. Oh, yeah. And the red flag. Yeah, because you're like, you know, well, God sent him. So, you know, he must be good. And so you ignore all the red flags. And there were a lot with this person. Mm-hmm. You know, but I had to do it for my kids, you know. So that's lesson learned. And thankfully, my kids are adults. My youngest is 27. And so I don't have to worry about that anymore. So
our people on the podcast can't see you, our YouTubers can, but she looks like she's 25, so I'm not sure how she has a son older than that, but okay.
Oh, thank you. My oldest son is 38.
Oh.
And I have two granddaughters.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Well, send me some of your face cream or whatever you're using.
Jojoba oil, no cream.
Oh, the oils, yeah.
Yeah.
So you told us how you worked on your healing after you recognized that abandonment was like a court issue. And then after the domestic violence, it sounds like the healing journey was long and challenging, but how did you work through it, or how are you working through it now?
So, you know, the weirdest thing about me, and I've often wondered about it, is that I've gone through quite a few trauma. In different types of trauma from childhood to maybe, you know, 10 years ago. And for some reason, I have not suffered through those trauma, you know, like as they happen. You know, sometimes people, you know, you go through something and you suffer immediately after, and then you get healing and then it's a past experience, right? Me, I still haven't dealt with a lot of the trauma that have happened in my life. So that's one thing I have to say. I was on a podcast a couple months ago, and it was the first time I talked about my mom leaving me at 9 months old. And for years, I just figured, you know, I don't care. I don't need her. She don't need me. I'm an adult. But in that podcast, I broke down because it felt like, it felt real when I was talking about it.
It hit you differently.
Yeah. So, you know, if saying that I'm healed from all these things is not truthful, because at any given point when I talk about the experience, I could break down. So I know I'm not healed from a lot of them, but I am healed from some things. The situation with my ex-husband, I think I just recognized it for what it was, that after the divorce, I realized that I made the mistake. I'm making these mistakes over and over again by using marriage or another person to solve my problems. And so I got over that, or got healed with that and strengthened by that. So there's nobody now, and I'm quite fine with that, but I still, if God, you know, allows it, I would like to have a companion, you know, eventually, one day, maybe, but so I'm open to either happening. And I think if I'm open to either happening, that tells me that I'm healed, right? That if I'm okay with it going either way, it tells me I'm healed from that trauma. I don't know if you agree with that, but that's how I feel about that.
Well, I mean, it's you, right? That's going to make the decisions on relationships. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think what would be interesting, how you decide to live single, or how you decide to be in relationship with someone again, you know, so maybe later the proof would be more in the pudding, and like, oh, do I have more healing to do? So if you ended up with someone abusive again, you know, maybe the red flag work needs, you know, more time and attention.
Oh, that won't happen.
The red flags.
I mean, me ending up in an abusive relationship again.
How do you know?
That won't happen. It won't happen because, for one, I have developed the knack for reading between the lines.
Yes, tell us more.
You know? So, you know, sometimes people will tell you, I had this one friend who told me, you know, I don't think I would be happy with you going on vacation on your own.
What?
Right. And maybe if you call me while you're on vacation, I won't answer. I'll just wait till you get back. And to me, that's saying to me, I don't want you to go on vacation on your own. You're not allowed. Mm-hmm. And if you do go, I'm not talking to you while you're gone.
To punish you.
Yeah. So, you know, to me, that's like blatant. You know, to somebody that would be saying something else. I read somewhere where somebody asked a question about, she lived with this guy and this guy worked night, and when he came home, she was still in bed, and he would tell her to get out of the bed because he needed to rest. And she took this abuse. To me, that's abuse. I mean, like, you know, where do you get off, you know? And so, but she was like, you know, it's like this normal thing, you know? So I think there are a lot of subtle things that they'll say, like passive aggressive, you know, like, dear, bless your heart, you know? So I learned to read those cues. And I've been pretty much stateless in the man department for about 15 years. So, and you know, I'm okay with it. I figure if somebody comes along and he wants to travel with me and he doesn't care if I go off on my own, because I'm just looking for adventure. I'm not trying to do anything to, you know, disrespect anyone. But if I tell you that's who I am up front, and later on you have a problem with it, then we have a problem.
Right. Yeah. My husband does like to travel, but I told him that when I retire, I'm going around the world cruise, which is a significant amount of time. And he's like, he doesn't plan to retire is what he says. I'm like, well, okay, I guess you'll have two choices. One is take time off to go on this long cruise, or wave goodbye to me.
Yeah.
So I'm going.
Yeah.
It's important if we know our spirit is independent and we crave adventure, it's important to be with partners who support that.
Yes. You know,
it doesn't necessarily mean going with us, but blessing it and supporting us and encouraging us to be our most authentic selves.
Yes. And the truth is, if I'm with somebody, I want them to come with me. You know, I'm not one of those people who say, oh, you can't be around me, you got to stay back. I'd like them to come with me.
If they want to.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's like people just go on, you know, they go out and they go on vacation. And, you know, if we go on a vacation and he wants to stay home, like, you know, where we're staying, and let me wander around the beach, I'm fine with that. Mm-hmm. Or if he wants to wander around the beach while I stay home, that's fine with that. But I'd like to do things together. So maybe, you know.
So, well, that just shows how people are different. And so if you have a new partner, or when, talking about that beforehand.
Yeah, it's never worked before.
It's the, one day.
It's never worked before. So I wonder about that too.
One day, who knows? So have you written a book yet?
I've written about 3 books. None of them are published.
What? You know, it's easier than ever to get published on Amazon.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, easier than ever.
Yeah.
What's holding you back?
Perfectionism. That's all that is. It's just, you know, I did, I think I'm up to 11,000 words on what my last book. And I'm like, I've seen books on Amazon with less words. What's wrong with me? But it's just a perfectionist thing going on. I'm like, that's not enough. I need to say more, you know, so I'll get it out there.
Shorter books are ranking better right now. So what could I say or do to encourage you to get those books out so you can help more people? Have you ever heard done is better than perfect?
Yes, I've heard that a lot. I've told myself that a lot.
And once you publish your books, I would be happy to add them to the show notes anytime in the future so that when people come across your podcast, where, first of all, it won't get published, I think, until March. Okay. So this will air sometime in March. Maybe by March, you have at least one on your show notes, so people could like, oh my gosh, she was so cool. You know, because there's a lot of women out there that have been unlucky in love, you know, that have been married and divorced several times. You know, you are not alone. I know it can feel like you're alone at times.
Yeah.
But you're not, there's a lot of women that can, well, you probably know because of your podcast and stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I hope you write a book. I think you have some good content, especially about, oh, and I think when I was hearing you talk at the beginning of the podcast, I could see the mindset maven. Mm-hmm. I really could see her. The courage to believe. So I think people need to read that stuff.
Yeah, that's actually the title of one of my books.
Which one? The Courage to Believe?
To Believe, yes.
Okay, well, I believe you can do this.
Thank you.
Yeah. And I have a team that we help coaches and, well, anyone, authors, get their book on Amazon if all the rules and regulations feel like a big barrier. Because it changes all the time. So I just went ahead and hired people that would help me do that. Okay. And just within a couple of years, I got lots of stuff up there now.
Oh, cool. And I have a manifesto, the Solomon manifesto on Amazon, but yeah.
Well, why didn't you say so? Say the title one more time.
Okay. So in 2015, I did the Single Mom manifesto. And then last year, I think it was, I did the Solo Mom manifesto because I renamed the podcast, mm-hmm. Solo Moms Talk. So it's called the Solo Mom Manifesto.
Okay.
New book.
Okay. So you do have something out there. Awesome. So, you know, it's how possible it is. We just got to work on that perfectionism. Yes. Perfectionism has gotten in my way a lot of times too. So I'm not going to pretend it hasn't. It can bite you.
Yes, for sure.
Yeah. So let's say there's a woman out there or women who are in a domestic violence situation right now, whether that's emotional abuse, physical, sexual, or just feeling really neglected and alone. What's some words of encouragement or hope do you have for them today?
It would be, you are enough. Because I think that's one of the things when I was, you know, in different situation as I was in, it was like, I was told, you know, you're nothing, you're a B, you're a O, that kind of stuff. And it brought me low because I figured, well, maybe they're right because my mom didn't want me, didn't know my dad, they didn't want me. So maybe they're right. And so it's to know that you're enough. You're loved. You're someone special. You're not the names that other people call you. And whose report are you going to believe? So that's my thought. I have a blog post called The 7 Reasons Solo Moms Struggle. And one of them is that you allow other people to tell you who you are. Right?
How do we find that blog post?
Solo moms talk.
Solo moms-talk.com. Yes. Solo moms-talk.com.
Yeah.
That's where they can read your blog.
Yeah.
And is that how people can reach you if they would like to work with you, or is there a different way that you prefer?
That's a very good place. I actually have a voice. It has a voice feature on that website. There's a red flag to the right of the website. You mm-hmm. can click that and leave me a voice note, or there's a form on it that you could send me a message.
Okay. And how do you help women who reach out to you? What do you do?
Well, I talk. I listen to them talk, and I can help you with your mindset, how you're thinking, especially when it comes to thinking bad about yourself, because mm-hmm. that's something I was an expert in. And so I could help you through that, talking through that. There's also another thing that I'm starting right now is to how to get ready for a relationship, even if you're not looking for one. So there's a lot of work that we have to do in ourselves mm-hmm. to get ready for that person. You know, when a good man doesn't work, you just have to decide what your standard is. And so I'm working on a challenge for that. So that's coming soon. So look out for that.
Oh, yes. I read that somewhere. Oh, it's called the Christian Solo Mom Relationship Challenge.
Yes.
Very cool. Yeah. Keep us posted. If there's a link, we can always add it into the show notes.
Okay.
Thank you. It's been a real pleasure having you on our show today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. It's a privilege.
Thank you for listening in today. Please join us next week, same day and time. Also, I would love for you to check out my website, healthrivedream.com.